So today's section reads like this. Being time has the virtue or quality of passing in a series of moments. That is to say, the virtue or quality passes from today to tomorrow, passes from today to yesterday, passes from yesterday to today, passes from today to today, and passes from tomorrow to tomorrow. Because passing through separate moments is a virtue of time, moments of the past and present are neither piled up on top of another nor lined up in a row. For this reason, Xuing Shua is time, Wang Po is time, Matsu and Shi To are time, and since self and other are time, practice and realization are time. Entering the mud and entering the water is equally time. So I'll take this paragraph by itself, but let me read you the next section too, so you have a sense of where Dogen is going. He writes, and today I'm using a blending of Waddell, Kim, Nishijima, and Cleary, hopefully allowing Dogen's direction to be more evident. Dogen wrote, although the view the ordinary, unenlightened person now holds, and the causes of that are indeed what the unenlightened person sees, it is not the unenlightened person's dharma. It is only the dharma temporarily causing you to see that way. Since you learn that this time, this being, is not the dharma, you reckon the 16-foot golden Buddha body is not yourself. Your attempts to escape from being the 16-foot golden Buddha body are nothing but bits and pieces of being time too. Those who have not yet confirmed this should look deeply into it. Okay, so I'll read that first section again and then talk a little bit about that. So he says, being time has the virtue or quality of passing in a series of moments. That is to say, it, the virtue or quality, passes from today to tomorrow, passes from today to yesterday, passes from yesterday to today, from today to today, and passes from tomorrow to tomorrow. Because passing through separate moments is a virtue of time, moments of the past and present are neither piled up one on top of another, nor lined up in a row. For this reason, Xuing Shu is time, Hong Po is time, Matsu and Shi To are time too. Since self and other are time, practice and realization are time, as is entering the mud and entering the water. So this starts off with what, from an ordinary standpoint, is conventionally understandable. Time passes from today to tomorrow. That is its quality, its virtue. But Dogen then quickly moves into a more subtle perspective. He says, today passes into yesterday, passes from today to today, and from tomorrow to tomorrow. The word passing seems to imply a step-by-step continuity, which is akin to our conventional way of talking about and understanding time. But Dogen is pointing to the moment-by-moment reality of only this, of this, of this, which does not have a past, present, or future. It is continually just this, and this. And now this. And this has swallowed all that we imagine went on yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He isn't denying before and after, Just like quantum physics does not deny the Newtonian laws of time and space. But he is broadening. He is making vast the perspective we can experience and understand, which includes before and after, but in the very same moment cuts them off. This moment and this into our. Bamboo and pine trees and you and you and you and me are completely independent and yet include each and all. We each occupy our own unique Dharma position and say it with different tones, textures, and rhythms, yet we are all simply music. Being time, the time being, never vacates even for a millimoment this very place, now. We are full and complete now, and now, and now, as is your mu, and as is who hears, and as this very body of the Buddha. Buddha nature, the 16-foot Buddha body, is not something to be realized at a future date. In Dogen's Uji, we do not plant seeds that we water with kind words, appropriate actions, and zazen, hoping that one day those seeds will grow and bear fruit. Uji does not forecast potentiality or becoming. All already is. But we just don't quite see it or understand it yet. This path of Uji does not posit samsara becoming with right practice, nirvana. We do not potentiate from incomplete to complete, from impure to pure, and profane to sacred. These supposed or perceived opposites are coterminous, and this very moment, is a witness to that. In this now, there are not two. In this now, not even one. When you are fully involved in each activity, there is no room for this and that, for picking and choosing, or even for love or hate. There is no gap for a subject, object, or an activity. There is only putting on your sitting clothes at the sound of the wake-up bell. There is only walking at the sound of the clappers. And there are only tears at the heartbreaking beauty and horror of it all. Because passing through separate moments is a virtue of time, moments of the past and present are neither piled up one on top of another, nor lined up in a row. For this reason, Shuangshu is time, Hong Po is time, Matsu and Shirto are time too. Time comes and goes without coming or going. So though we recite in our morning dedications a fairly chronological ordering of our Maha lineage, each of those interacts with the other without any interaction. While interacting, they permeate each other, yet each remains in his or her own place, independent and free. And the factual ordering of their birth and death are meaningless, because all of them, each one, are now. All, each, are moments of the present. Shuangshu is time and sits on your cushion as you. Wang Po is time and walks in your shoes without causing any obstruction. Matsu and Shirto sleep in your bed without creating any hindrances. You include all of them, but are still free to occupy your own unique Dharma position. We often think and conceptualize in one-to-one directions in relationships, but time is multifaceted, multi-layered, and multi-dimensional. So much so that when Shakyamuni Buddha woke up, so did the Venus star, but so did you and I. And when you wake up, so do the elk, Shakyamuni Buddha, and the Venus star. All of us entangled and interwoven, yet independent and fully free to move as only you do. And since self and other are time, practice and realization are time. Entering the mud, entering the water is equally time. In a sense, your practice itself is realization, and realization your practice. When you come back to your practice from daydreams, when you come back to Mu or to who hears, that coming back itself is realization. You move from daydreaming, from self-centered thoughts and concerns, to just this, to this time being, to just this sound, to just this. When you come back, when you let go and return, that is practice as realization. And when you stay with this activity and then this activity, fully involved and committed, fully wedded to no subject, no object, and no activity, when you're committed to no self, no other, no coming, and no going, that is realization as practice. As we are fully embedded in the rising and falling of the world as practice realization, we naturally move into the suffering of the world and respond as only you can from your unique position of Dharma. This is called entering the mud and entering the water. We do not do this to save all beings, but because it is a natural inclination to tend to your right hand when it is hurt. We do this because we are practicing realization, or because ours is a realized practice. Both sides are always available to you because each is being time, as are you. This, however, does not mean simply sitting with the correct posture is realization, or for that matter, is even practice. Just sitting there, no matter how sublime the posture, is not the zazen, which wipes away beginningless crimes. Nor is sitting zazen in a daze, numb and disconnected, and calling that emptying oneness. Zazen doesn't stumble drunkenly towards a made-up unknown future, and it doesn't lean back into a past that is filled with tired, already told stories. Zazen also is not monitoring or condition, noting, or following. Those are strategies that simply entrench the fallacy of two, of subject and object. Actually of three, of subject, object, and activity. The zazen which wipes away beginningless crimes is the zazen of body-mind falling away body-mind. The zazen which wipes away beginningless crimes is the zazen of no subject, no object, and no activity. Zazen is not a matter of just squatting on the cushion being present. Zazen is directionless, with no way home. It isn't strict or strained, but it is filled with the quality of receptivity in its posture rather than stiff-backed and cocked knees, is formed with open hands and open hearts. It is receptive, open to the singular trill of the thrush. It's receptive, open to the shriek of the geese. And it's accepting, open to the screeching two-cycle whine of the chainsaw and to the smashing fall of the fir tree. It is open to the immovability of the boulders and cliffs, to the light of the moon and the stars, and to the shadows cast by you and me. Zazen is constantly showing us how to see, hear, touch, and feel. It is inviting us to love and asking us to allow love towards us, both in the mud and in the water. Its opportunities are endless, and there is nothing that it leaves out. And yet, it allows us to be simple with no adornments, with no jewelry, and no perfume. Zazen simply asks for a willingness and a receptivity. Nothing more than that, but nothing less. So as Dogen next moves from the mud and water, and he writes, although the view the ordinary unenlightened person now holds, and the causes of that are indeed what the unenlightened person sees, it's not the unenlightened person's dharma. It is only the dharma temporarily causing him or her, causing you, to see that way. Since you learn that this time, this being, is not the dharma, you reckon the 16-foot golden Buddha body is not yourself. Your attempts to escape from being the 16-foot golden Buddha body are nothing but bits and pieces of being time too. Those who have not yet confirmed this should look. Look. Look into this. So I've just talked right before this about Dogen's last sentence. Sitting, walking, standing, and lying down with the quality of receptivity is the way to confirm and look deeply. Let each advance and confirm you, showing you the true configuration of the universe. And incidentally, Dogen is in the last sentence echoing a teaching of Lin Chi, who famously said, in this lump of red flesh is a true person of no rank, who is always coming in and out of your face. Those who have not yet confirmed her, look, look. So Dogen wrote, although the view the ordinary unenlightened person now holds, and the causes of that are indeed what the unenlightened person sees, it is not the unenlightened person's dharma. Although this sentence may seem convoluted, at least to me, Dogen is saying something rather straightforward. When you are unrealized, your views, causes, and conditions are indeed what you see and experience. It really seems as that view, that experience is so. The current sitting president is an obvious example to the extreme of that. When we feel hate, we see and experience hate. When we feel loneliness, we see and experience neglect. When we feel rage, we see and experience rage. And when we feel unloved, we see everything else as alien or immigrant. That, however, is not the Dharma. And at its most profound and true level, it is not the individual's true Dharma. It is only as far as he can see at this moment. He really thinks the ocean is a circle because no distinguishing forms are seen. The unrealized person really believes she is unlovable, of little or no value, and has no distinguishable features of beauty, kindness, or care. And so that is what she expects, then sees, then experiences. These conditions and causes are created often by the self, but more often by the family, the culture, and the society. And in this next section, Dogen, however, adamantly adheres to his fallen away body-mind, saying, but these causes and conditions, this mistaken view and notion, are the Dharma itself causing this seemingly disrupted viewpoint? And right there is the great mystery. Right within our distortions, right within our delusions, right within our neuroses, right there is the light. Right there is illumination. It may be shadowed or obscured, but it is nevertheless right here. The Lotus Sutra addresses this, saying again and again that the individual circumstances we are faced with are the best place, are the only place for us to wake up. Those cracks of distortion, those cracks of delusion and neuroses allow us to be vulnerable, one of the primary ingredients in being compassionate. Our neurotic styles, those cracks, allow the light into places we would never otherwise look or feel. Those cracks humble us, allowing us to be genuinely human. And those cracks point directly to our interrelatedness with each other, but also with this earth and its many, many creatures. But the Dharma never delineates the way I just did. It doesn't separate delusion and realization, healthy and unhealthy, neurotic and not neurotic. It is just continuously, singularly, illuminating. That's all it is, and that's all it does. Realization is seeing the chain of consequences, the chain of causes and conditions, as it is. Being time, though, is always dynamically functioning as the light in the individual self, no matter how mistaken that self is in seeing and experiencing. And this is the great power, beauty, and optimism of Zen. No matter who or what, no matter how Sesshin has been or hasn't been until this moment, in the next now, right now, you can see, touch, feel, and know what is always coming in and out of your face. In this lump of red flesh is a true person of no rank. And in each cause and condition, that is the best time, the only time for you to come to know your own nobility. In a way, we use our apparent habits and mistaken notions as an excuse. We say, oh, I am unrealized, I'm not a good student, I'm not this or that. So therefore, how can I be a 16-foot golden Buddha body? We say, maybe she is or he is, but not me. We buy the shame that the culture or the family is selling. But really, all we're doing is making excuses. We are concretizing the apparent habits and mistaken notions, not realizing that even those things are the time being. Even those are filled with light. The bits and pieces of our lives, whether diluted or not, too, are it. So I'd like to end with this short dialogue from the Gateless Gate. So once a monk asked the priest, Ching Chung, why was it that the Buddha of supremely pervading, surpassing wisdom did zazen on the Bodhi seat for 10 kappas, but the Dharma of the Buddha did not manifest itself and he could not attain Buddhahood? The teacher said, your question is exactly to the point. The monk, though, having none of that, said, yeah, but he did zazen on the Bodhi seat. He was there for 10 kappa, and that's a lot longer than one session. He did zazen on the Bodhi seat for 10 kappa. Why couldn't he attain Buddhahood? And Ching Chong said, because he is a non-attained Buddha. And Dogen might have said, because he is a time being, being time, filled with illumination, now, and now, and now, just as you are, attained and not, pure and not, sacred and not. And because of that, we can say together, what a blessing. What a blessing.